There's another realignment going on in the Middle East quietly. There are indications that a coalition is forming to try and contain the growing influence of Iran in Syria and in the wider Middle East. Cooperation seems to be secretly taking place between some Arab Gulf states and Israel to confront Iran. This means Palestine, which has for so long dominated the Arab world's agenda, is losing attention for the time being. Here to talk about this developing relationship and what it means for Palestine is Manal Omar, Associate Vice President for the Center for Middle East and Africa at the U.S. Institute of Peace.
I think that it's been taking place on a political level behind the scenes for quite a long time. The reality of the security being very intertwined is something that most political leaders have acknowledged behind the door and have often said this is not something we can ever take public. What we're seeing is a shift more towards the public eye and a testing of the public appetite if that they themselves can make that shift along with their political leaders.
Would you say, and I guess Netanyahu of Israel is going to go to Egypt at some point fairly soon before the end of the year, if that happens, and they do have a treaty, if that happens, would we be wrong in speculating that perhaps the Gulf states would support Israel if they decide to make a preemptive strike on nuclear capabilities inside of Iran?
It would be very difficult, again, to take any support on some type of strike, particularly in terms of Iran, publicly. I think that you have a lot of almost encouragement beyond just support from private quarters and behind the scenes. I do think that there would need to be some type of consolation if there was going to be, and it may be why Egypt is taking such an interest in restarting the Palestinian-Israeli negotiations. The political sector, again, is very concerned about Iran, recognizes strongly that Israel is perhaps the other country in the region that is just as concerned in terms of the Gulf, but there is still a strong lag from the public. And even Netanyahu's visit in Egypt will reveal a lot about what's actually happening on the ground in Egypt as well. As we know, there has been a crackdown on Egyptian civil society for some time, and this will be a true test in terms of what the public, what the street can handle. What I do anticipate is that the issue of sectarianism, particularly the Sunni-Iran divide, will continue to come to the surface, and it's still very, very fragile, particularly if you look at the conflict of Yemen. I mean, a lot of the other Arab countries are very frustrated with the Gulf and particularly with Saudi Arabia. And so a strong alliance with Israel would make, the Gulf, which is already fragile in terms of reputation, even harder.
Palestine all of a sudden is put on the shelf and becomes very much, down ballot in terms of priorities for the Gulf states. Every time this has happened in the past, there's been some explosion that resets the entire region. You would think lessons might be learned in this particular case. What do you think the implications are here?
I think one of the things that I've seen with my background in terms of humanitarian work is something that I've called Palestinian fatigue. Traveling through Iraq, traveling through Syria at one point, traveling through Libya, you often heard people say, well, what about us? Why is the Palestinian cause the only one, the League of Arab States, the only one that everyone discusses? In that sense, Palestinian fatigue has been taking place for a while. Nonetheless, as you mentioned, one explosion, one scene of Israelis demolishing homes or attacking Palestinians can reset the public need for some type of solution. I think that you will see, again, you're already seeing Egypt trying to restate the negotiations, trying to bring back the Palestinian to the table with welcoming from the Palestinian authorities. And I think that is a way of trying to safeguard that next explosion or safeguard the attacks that they're no longer concerned about Palestine. And I think that there's an acknowledgement that it's not something that can be permanently ignored, but a very strong frustration that they don't see any movement or any solution ahead.
Has there been any change of heart in the famously corrupt Palestinian leadership on the West Bank and, of course, the Hamas leadership in Gaza in the last 6 to 8 months?
What you've seen is the Palestinian leadership acknowledging that they have to do something. And oftentimes, when I was in the West Bank earlier this year, you would hear terms like seven-star occupation. You would even hear veiled concerns or almost veiled threats from the public saying that the next intifada may not target in Israel at all, but may target the Palestinian Authority and the issue of corruption more directly, because that was where most of the frustration was seated. As such, you're also seeing the Palestinian Authority trying to shift away from depending on the U.S. U.S. to be the primary negotiator, or, and looking at the international community. This is what we're seeing with the bid for Palestinian statehood, with taking it to the ICC. Unfortunately, I think most of that will continue to be rhetoric and not really lead to any tangible change. It definitely won't lead to bringing Israelis to the negotiation table. And so there's a concern that the rhetoric is actually more important than the reality.
Manal Omar is Associate Vice President of the Center for Middle East and Africa at the United States Institute of Peace. Thank you so much, Manal.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.